This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
All right, so Aaron Rodgers went on his good buddy, his good friend Joe Rogan's podcast today. And it was a 3-hour meandering interview, as you would guess. It was about zero football. There was nothing about the Steelers directly, about his playing future directly in this interview, the best I can tell. But he did, in a conversation about the way cancer is treated in America, bring up stuff about his personal life. He's made his personal life a topic, Rodgers, because of what he said on McAfee's show. He said, I'm not in a position right now to sign with a team because I'm going through some personal issues right now that I need to take care of first. And so Rogan starts talking about the way cancer is treated in this country. And this is what Rodgers said to him about that. This is a quick clip.
Figured it out during the last year when I've you know, been in the weeds with these people who are close to me that have cancer, is that innovation is frowned upon and alternative ways of dealing with cancer.
And then they went into that whole thing. But the scoop there is that he's been in the weeds with people close to him who are battling and fighting cancer, which is no fun. And we don't wish that on anybody. And obviously thoughts with those people that are close to Aaron Rodgers who are having to fight for their life right now. What's interesting about that, though, is what Ian O'Connor told me on Friday about these personal issues. This is Aaron Rodgers' biographer. This is a guy who talked to, I think the number is like over 100 people for the book he wrote about Aaron Rodgers last year, and developed a very close relationship with Rodgers' family. And we know that there's stuff going on there where they're not really very close. But O'Connor still has incredible Rodgers sources. He's based out of New York, so he was around Rodgers the last 2 years there. And this is what he said about these personal issues that Rodgers is facing.
I think I have a pretty good sense of what it is, and I don't think it's something that would prevent him from playing football. But I did reach out to his father, frankly, and asked, I hate to ask this question, is there anything health-wise with your family? And he said, no. We haven't talked to Aaron, and we don't know what he's referring to. We heard and saw what he said on McAfee. And talking to a couple other people close to Aaron, I think I have a sense of what it might be. I'm not comfortable repeating
it. That's fine.
Right now. But I don't think it would prevent him from playing football with the Steelers.
All right, what is your reaction to all that, Malzi? Both the comments on Rogan and then the follow-up there where Rodgers' dad said, hey, it's not me, it's not his mom, it's not his brother, it's not his sister. It's not a family-related cancer battle.
I still feel like the... Are we automatically connecting, though? Because what's weird for me is O'Connor says, I know what it is, but I'm not, out of respect for Rodgers and whoever else is involved in this, I'm not going to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't blame him on that.
But then he felt comfortable saying that it's not someone in his family.
Yeah. So yeah, we can all have close friends who are battling cancer. But like, I almost... Ian saying it's not, like, essentially intimating it's not this insanely major, major thing, right? Because that's... Am I... correctly, like, paraphrasing?
Yeah,
kind
he said
of how
it's
he,
not something that's going to prevent him from right. playing football if it was a major
Do
thing.
Do you even directly correlate what he said to Rogan about friends who are in the weeds with cancer with that being the actual thing?
So
I don't even know if you can.
I know you were out. You were in Nashville, I think, when Rodgers went on McAfee. So I don't know how much of that you ended up ever going back and watching or listening to. But I just thought he sounded like someone who had a family member or friend close to him that was dealing with like a grave, serious illness. He didn't say it, but I thought he pretty much intimated that as best he could without saying that in the interview. That was my takeaway from it.
If you do connect the two, then yes, I would imagine he shows up for the start of OTAs.
Like these, he said, in the weeds with these people, maybe through treatment they're doing better and...
Or just like he wanted to be around these people as long as he could. I mean, it not being related to anybody in his family, we know that there's enough friction between Rodgers and his immediate family that whoever these people are who are in the weeds, if it's people plural, he might be closer with them and treat them more like family than his actual family at this point.
I agree.
So when I think about it in those terms...
They function as his family.
When I think about it in those terms, I think maybe he would act more like it was a true biological immediate family member because he doesn't have a close relationship with his biological
family. I also think
family.
It's possible. I don't think it's out of the question that, let's say, these people who were close to him fought cancer and we don't know how that went, but maybe it gave him a perspective like, you know what? I really like football. I don't love football enough where in months like April and May, I'm going to make it my life. So, you know what, Steelers? You guys can tell me you're good and you don't need me, but I'm just going to let you know right now, this makes me want to live my life during this time of year.
I'm going to treat every day like it's precious and football does not need to be front and center.
Yeah.
I'm going to prioritize different things when I don't absolutely have to be there.
And if you guys don't like that, that's fine. That's on you.
I'm good with you not liking it if you don't want to bring me in. But they've let him like do this.
But the one thing about that I don't really understand is if that theory is anywhere close to being true, why couldn't they come to some kind of agreement where he signed a contract
but then
didn't show up until it was mandatory?
Do they not like the optics of that maybe? Like, would the team say, why are we... Because they have plausible deniability right now. They're still getting led around by the nose. But, I mean, if they made that much of a special dispensation for him and it was signed, sealed, delivered that way, I could see Art Rooney not liking the optics of that more than the current situation.
But the current situation is people want to take the Steelers at their internal word where they're telling their players and everybody he's going to sign. But it's just like they were telling me and other people that Aiyuk was going to be a Steeler. So there is that, too. I know it's different. I know it's not completely apples to apples, but we're also dealing with somebody who might wake up one day and say, you know what? I'm not officially a Steeler. Maybe I'm not ready to go be a Steeler. That's the conundrum here. You know, like going back to the Florio conversation from last hour, we're getting close to another one of these made-up deadlines that people in the football world have tried to put on this situation, which is he'll sign in time for the mandatory workouts. And if he's not signed by then, the reaction will be, oh, well, not that big deal, not that big of a deal. He's got until whatever the first reporting date is for Latrobe
to show up. He's still got 2 months for this.
I mean, I now almost, she's there. I mean, Brooks around the owners in Minneapolis and around these bigwig NFL people, I don't think that what she heard is that far off. Could it honestly be that he's given them, all he said is that, yeah, I plan on playing for you guys, but I don't know when I'm going to be ready. And there's like no date whatsoever that they're circling now. That he could, if he wanted to take this thing into August, they would be fine with it because they still think that it beats the alternative of going with Mason Rudolph at quarterback.
If it goes into August where they're well into camp and that's the first time he shows up, that's actually an over-the-top slap in the face at Mason Rudolph. I don't care how bad he was with Tennessee for chunks of last year. If I were at Rudolph, I'd be like,
but they
really
won't look at it that way because of what Ben said, HOF. And
I like what you said better, OLD.
Yep. Thank you for that, Malzi. It's nice one. Every once in a while to compliment each other, I think.
I put you on a pedestal, just usually outside the show, I tell people that I think you're as good as it gets in this country.
Okay, but
in local sports,
hold on a
talk,
second, though.
No
time out. Stop. But inherent in those comments is you have to say those things because people are ripping me, so you're trying to defend me. That's what doing now.
No, I frequently defend you when people rip you because that still happens. And I'm like, no, he's awesome. He's great to work with, and he's super talented.
Well, I feel the same way about you, Chris.
Well, other than the fact that you would be telling lies to those people, I appreciate it. I think you should be more truthful and say it's like an anchor I drag around, and that's how I've gotten so strong.
Donnie, we have to check
by the way, speaking of your strength, yes? We had, I believe this was Turd Samich, our friend, came through. He said, Camp Pony, with all the storms happening, and they are serious, can he just use his muscle to toss those storms right out the door?
All right, Bob, it is time for the Limitless Express. Why aren't you playing the music for it, Limits?
Here it is.
Here it is, Bob. Take a listen.
I love you. I love you.
They call them trolls or whatever, people that just sit behind a computer in their mom's basement.
You idiot.
It was a joke.
Hold on. Let me put my wooden teeth in so you can understand me better.
Now you're insulting my intelligence.
No, I'm insulting your integrity. All right, Bob, step aboard. Coming up top of the hour, Chris Curd, former Pitt football player. We're going to be talking Olympic flag football with the NFL players. That's top of the hour. In the meantime, you're up, big boy.
Great pop for Donnie Football yesterday. He had Mike North, the NFL's VP of broadcast scheduling, on his show, and he was asked multiple things about Aaron Rodgers and also how the scheduling plays out. North said that he knows as much as we do about Aaron.
Yeah, you know what we know. Nobody should assume anything with Aaron. And obviously, I think the Steelers' schedule is more interesting. I think the NFL is more interesting if he plays, but it's whatever, June, right? And we still don't know. So we definitely didn't build this schedule assuming he was going to be the quarterback. If we knew today that Aaron was playing for the Steelers, I'm not sure we would have had to, call it restraint to schedule the Steelers for 1 o'clock on, Sunday afternoon of week one. I imagine he and the team would have been in a primetime window. I think it would have been one of the more interesting games in week one.
Bob, I actually believe him. Ben thinks the league is lying, that they do know that Aaron Rodgers is going to play, and that's why they had Steelers-Packers in primetime. What do you think?
Well, I said that at the time. I thought the Jets game would have been prime time right off the bat if they knew, just because I think that's a natural. With all the things involved in that, Fields included, that was going to be a must-see prime time kind of game. But it never – so. But I would have thought the NFL also, even though they did know officially, would have said, Art Rooney thinks it's happening. Therefore, it likely will happen. So we are going to schedule these games as if he's playing here. I would have done that. Now, I know they can flex games later in the year if they have to, but...
Do you agree with this guy that it's a much more interesting league if Aaron Rodgers plays? I guess, sort of, but I don't care that much.
I think it's a much more interesting storyline for week one and others. I don't know about whether or not he's going to be good or bad with them. I hope
if he doesn't play, I'm not going to lose sleep over it, and I think the league, I think everyone will survive, right?
But they also know the Steelers are a big drawing card regardless.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
But I bet you they would have had one extra primetime game if he was in for sure.
Yeah, and they still could later in the year. Things can change. But for week one, I thought for sure that would have been a primetime Monday night game.
Limits?
He also mentioned the Steelers and the idea of them having a bye after Ireland. Was it automatic?
We were first kind of dipping our toe into the water on international games. We were incredibly accommodating about byes. Like, oh my goodness, we're going to go play a game in London? Of course you need your bye the week after. Like, that's a long trip. But if you think about it, like for the Steelers, for instance, like going over to Dublin, playing in the afternoon, and then coming back, like they're probably back in their facility by midnight. Like that's less than if you played at San Fran or at Seattle. So these international games, at least in the UK and Europe, they're becoming a little bit more routine. So we've gotten rid of the rule that said, you know, teams had the option to get their bye. Now the byes fall where they fall. And I don't know that the Steelers were happy with their bye in week five. I'm not sure anybody's volunteering for a week five bye, but coming back from a long trip, a little out of your routine, they get their Thursday game coming a little bit later, so you get like that mini bye after the Thursday. Teams no longer get to, you know, request their bye after international. They might get it, they might not. The byes move around like bad luck moves around.
I like that quote. So it sounds like it wasn't designed around the Steelers returning from Ireland. It sounds like it was just random. That doesn't really make sense to
me,
does it?
And I think all of us speculated it would be a week five bye, and it happened.
I don't think Art likes it. He sounded like he would prefer it later in the year.
Well, he didn't like the fact that L.A. game is a Sunday night, you know, and then they got to come right back, and, you know, that's a short –
yeah.
Time to, you know, not everyone's going to be happy with this. And I agree with Mike North. I think they can't possibly satisfy every team here. This is just too big of an enterprise to try to satisfy. So
when do the Ravens get their bye? Do we know? Limits?
It won't be week five, I guarantee you that. It's probably week eight, nine.
Do byes start at week five every year?
I think.
There
have
been some week four byes.
Week four.
That's way too early.
Way too early.
Especially with 17
games.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just... Who wants a bye then?
Plus, Ravens have a week seven bye.
Week seven. And that's not that much of a difference. But he's right that they could get back just as quick from there as they can from conceivably a West Coast trip, right?
Yeah. I mean, in terms of total land mass or air travel, yeah. I mean,
it takes a little longer, but
yeah.
His point was with the early game there, they're going to be home and in bed by midnight.
Right. Not a primetime game. So... That was an interesting perspective I didn't expect to.
I didn't expect to hear that either. I thought it was somewhat, okay, yeah.
How about Donnie Football, otherwise known as Donnie Chedrick, coming up with that guy from the league, Bob? Does he have good connections?
That's really good because, I mean, he's a guy that everybody talks about when it's time. Absolutely.
Donnie or Bill North?
No, I mean, yes, but to get him is terrific.
Yeah.
That was a good job by him, yes.
I think a great job. I disagree with you.
Wonderful job.
Yeah. Next.
According to Ross Dellinger, college football playoff executives are expected to adopt a straight seeding model for this season's college football playoff, 1 through 12. 1 through 12, with the 12 seed being the lowest seeded team of the teams that obviously qualify. So if it's a group of five team, that might end up being 12, but if they're higher, like Boise State, hypothetically last year, would have been a 9 seed. Bob, what do you think of that?
I kind of like that better, to be honest. I know people don't like change every single year on this kind of stuff, but I agree with that because I don't think Boise State should have been seeded that high. So that's fine with me. Just from the top of my head, you just brought that up. Yes, I have no problem with it.
So does this mean reseeding then? Because I remember one of the problems last year.
I think once you seed, you don't have to reseed, right?
Correct.
Then I do like
reseeding.
It. Then I do like it because the brackets they had last year, the matchups didn't make sense.
Didn't make sense, no.
Most of the second round teams that had survived the first round were favorites. In other words, the team that got byes, they were the underdogs. That's
right.
Not how a bracket
That's not how
is supposed
to
work.
And so you don't need to reseed. You just have to seed for the first time, and then your bracket takes place.
Good point, Bob. I wish I had said that.
Yeah, like Boise State and Arizona State were.
I did say that,
but
Bob.
The NFL is going to reseed. It looks like.
I thought they shot that down.
Oh, did they shoot it down?
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't see that.
Did they limits?
Yeah, I think they withdrew the proposal. Withdrew.
Yeah. Good.
Well, whatever the case, they were thinking about it.
Right.
And, you know,
I'm with Tomlin on that. Division winners earn a home game.
I think most of the league is.
Unless.
You win your division, unless it's a 6-10 record.
The only caveat I would put in there is like Seattle won a division 1 year at 7-9. If you have a losing record, you shouldn't get a home game.
Right.
Do you agree with that,
Bob?
I
totally agree with that.
I'm glad I thought of it. Next.
You're a wonderful man, Joe.
All right, Joe, let's go back to Mike North. The possibility.
I don't want to go back to him. I've had enough of him.
You've had enough of Mike North?
No, go back to him.
All right, let's go back to him
then.
Okay.
I got him confused with Billy North. I keep doing that.
There are a lot of other people.
Don't get him confused with the North Star or the Minnesota North Stars. These international games are starting to drive me nuts. And Donnie asked a good question. Could we see more? There's the possibility, Roger Goodell said, of 16 international games. What?
He's been very public about, you know, our international growth strategy and, you know, can we get to 10, 12, maybe someday 16 international games? The answer is yes. We will figure it out. We will do it. It won't be without some challenges and some, you know, I don't want to say heartbreak, but there will definitely be an impact. But it's doable, like everything else in the schedule. I mean, there's going to be a trade-off, and we're just going to have to figure out, you know, where our priorities lie. And if our priorities lie in continuing to expand the international footprint and the strategic growth opportunity that we have by going into more of these markets, it really does seem like every time we go to a new place, there's two or three more kind of raising their hands. Once,
I mean, there's a lot of revenue out there in the world to be made. And the NFL makes billions and billions of dollars, but most people who have billions or who make billions, Bob, what do they want more than anything else? More billions, right?
Yeah, but he said in his quote there, we have to determine what our priorities are.
I would say that's their top priority.
Well, apparently so, but I also think they have priority to satisfy their team's ticket holders who spend a lot of money and they're going to have to sacrifice games or spend more money to go overseas to watch their teams.
Sure, but don't you think that's also exciting? Like, I think the Steelers in Ireland, like maybe for some teams going to London, you know, their fan base might be, this stinks, we don't want to lose a home game and nobody cares about the game in London. But I think for a lot of fan bases, there are really cool places where you can have an NFL game like Ireland that fans will rally around. Who knows where else in the world people
might
want to go.
Well, they're going to how many different places now? We got Berlin, you have Spain, you have Brazil, you have
Buffalo. Right?
Yeah, I'm just saying, you know, who knows where
it's
going.
Do you like it or no?
I liked it. I think it gets a little bit too much for me now. I don't want to see all these games overseas. I'd rather see them at the place they're supposed to be played. For the most part, and I understand why they're doing it. I get it. Their job is to make money and expand the sport globally. Fine, but I think you also get to a point where, like the Winter Classic in hockey, if you do too much of it, it gets old after a while.
Well,
me anyway.
We have just the man to talk about sort of a similar but different aspect of that.
Right,
and that's selling the game worldwide through flag football. And there's other aspects of this to think of. And this is one of the reasons that the NFL wants to have its players in the Olympics. Former Pitt football player Chris Curd is in the building.
And he brought gifts and everything.
He brought us gifts. He's the guy to talk to. He's very influential in flag football in this area and has become a worldwide ambassador of sorts. We're going to draft our own NFL flag football teams. He doesn't know that yet.
I don't know that yet.
But we are, yeah. It's a fantasy draft. Oh. We each get 5 picks for offense. We're going to do all of this.
Chris has to explain some of the rules specific to this.
We will. That's why he's here, Bob.
It will determine what your fantasy team would look like. Why are you getting mad? I'm asking a question.
That's why he's here, Bob.
His daughter is here. This is impressionable. She's going to think we yell at each other all the time.
Yes, his daughter's. We do. His daughter, Sydney, is here. It's a pleasure to meet her.
Yes,
my daughter is 16 as well and spends a lot of time on her phone as well.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Harry Callis is about to tell all. Harry Callis has been silenced for a month. Why? We'll tell you in 1 minute here. Give people time to jump onto the YouTube stream. Think visually it'll be better. If you watch it, then you hear it, but we'll deliver here over the air as well. Nicholas Harry Callis has not been able to speak on the air since April 26, 2025. The night before that, the Pirates scored 9 runs. That's how long ago that was, against the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. In that time period, we have been producerless, basically, while Derek Shelton got fired. Gene Lamont was brought back. Mike Sullivan and the Penguins went their separate ways. We had the NFL draft. George Pickens was traded. And, well, we're in the same exact spot with Aaron Rodgers. It's been a month. Harry Callis has been silenced. If you're watching on YouTube, Harry, you're going to have to get that chair a little bit higher. You can see that we are both dressed in our Sunday best. We don't like to make jokes of things around here. We're very serious as a radio show. And we want to show all of you out there that we're taking this very seriously. So I got my suit on. Callis has his suit on. Callis, you're going to have to get higher. You're also going to have to sit in front of the microphone. Callis needed help tying his tie this morning.
I'm just going to stand.
Very good.
Very good.
Yeah, you're right in the center of the frame now. So, Harry, I'm going to walk the people through this, and then you can have your say, okay?
Understood.
So, as you well know, by listening to this show frequently, and thank you, our ratings are very high, Harry was running for Green Tree Council. Now, I had always heard that if one particular political candidate would get airtime, that you would need to offer an opposing candidate equal airtime. Now, I'm going to play dumb here. I guess not play dumb. I am dumb. I didn't think that that meant with friggin' Green Tree Council. We got ourselves a Fan Morning Show Watergate scandal here. So, it may or may not have been brought to the attention of some of Harry's opponents running for Green Tree Council that Harry had this kind of platform. And we thought, as a company, it was in the best interest of the company and Harry Callis to say, while you're running for mother bleeping Green Tree Council, that Harry has to stay off the air. He could still produce the show, but whether it was recorded or live, if it was longer than 4 seconds, Harry's opponents would be afforded the same amount of time.
And as much as we love local politics and the process of democracy, we didn't want to turn the early morning show or the fan morning show pre-show into a running daily debate about Green Tree Council issues, like whether or not to expand the pool. Now, why is he back today? All the votes have been cast. Harry Callis, at this exact moment, is down 2 votes. But wait, there's more. There are 3 provisional ballots still left to be counted. Which are going to be counted today, Harry?
Yeah, so I understand, yes.
Okay. So Harry's down 2 votes. There are still three votes left to count. I mean, what is this, Bush v. Gore circa 2000? Like, we got hanging chads? How long should it take to count 3 provisional ballots, Harry?
Oh, no. We got to give the county some leeway. I mean, the county's responsible for certifying every single, like, district in the county. So it's like Green Tree's not the only one that they're certifying. I mean, there's like, I mean, how many boroughs and municipalities are in Allegheny County? I mean,
I don't know. You should know that since you're running for office.
I mean, that's a lot.
Here's my favorite possible scenario, though, Harry, and we're very happy to have you back. Let's say these provisional ballots, the 3, lead to there being a tie. So let's say Harry ties with his political opponent. Please tell the people how the tie is broken.
So from what I understand, one guy had been there for my campaign. There's a leather bag. You go down to a county office, and there's a leather bag with numbered balls. And we would have to go. Me and my opponent would have to go and pick one ball out of the bag, and the highest number would get that 4th spot.
Now, I'm not here to criticize Green Tree, but it is 2025. We can't think of a better tiebreaker than to go to the local municipal steps of a place in town, and you reach your hand into a leather bag, and the highest ball wins?
It's the county that does that, though. Again, the county regulates all this. It's not just Green Tree. It's the county certifies and regulates all the elections that happen. So
here's a text. That's the wildest bleep I've ever heard in my whole life. Who in the hell is going to vote for Harry for council first off? So that was the argument I made at the time, that any amount of time that we spent talking about Harry Callis as a Green Tree council person would have made people not want to vote for Harry. This is a man who, if elected, would be working 3 jobs, who doesn't do this one all that particularly well,
hey,
and who needs help tying a tie. Why the hell would anybody vote for you, with all due respect?
Well, 358 people saw it my way, so I don't know what you're saying. I'm down by 2 votes. So it's not like I didn't finish last. I finished, it's not even a finish yet, but I finished 5th of 7. So
358 people voted for you.
I think you need to keep it in real perspective, though. I mean, people of Green Tree, I believe, looked at me and said, all right, you know, this guy is the inspiration for change. The current regime that's there is not the best.
And all right, so, be careful here. Don't be taking shots.
I'm not taking shots. I mean, I'm not taking legit shots. I mean, this is the kind of thing, though, that frustrates me, is that, you know, I came out there and I was like, you know, I want to make positive change and I want to run on a platform. Like, literally my only platform was, you know, I'm an expert in communication. Like, I can listen to people.
Oh, yeah.
And I can understand problems as they come. But like, all I wanted to do was make the communication there better, because I worked 2 jobs already where I am a communication specialist, whether you think so or not. I'm funny here, and I'm a media specialist in Bethel Park. So, I mean, either way, you know, I know what I'm doing.
You know what? Yeah, who am I to say you're not qualified? That's for the American people to decide. Now, everyone's texting in. If Harry's down 2 and there are 3 votes left, he can't tie. Because of the way that the voting goes, yes, you could tie. And we do not need to get people bogged down with the details. You could tie. And then you're reaching into, and I love this detail, a leather bag and pulling a ball, high number wins. Now, people are also asking me, Crowley, how would you break a tie? I don't know. A recount. Like, let the American people decide. Not a ping pong ball.
I mean, you're calling me silly. If they do a recount and the recount comes back the same and it's still a tie, then what?
You might get more people to vote. Like, I don't know if Starkey voted. He lives in Green Tree. I don't know if his wife voted.
There might actually be a recount, though, because it's so close.
Well, if like, there is a recount, then we lose you again.
No.
Don't we?
No, because the votes are already cast. So the recount, it's not like you recount and they vote again. Nobody votes again. It's just a recount of the election. So, oh. No. So I'm good. You're making fun of me for not knowing things, and you're not knowing a whole lot right now. But I'm just disappointed, too, because, I mean, you know, I'm not going to make any accusations because I don't have any evidence to
be
provide
careful.
Here. Right. I don't have any evidence to provide here. But the guy that represents the county from the committee's party that I'm a part of was like, you know, I can't believe, you know, we talked about it at our one meeting, but I can't believe that they did that. And I'm just saying, for local politics, for nobody to come up to me and be like, hey, Nick, maybe watch what you're doing on the radio or maybe
hold up, hold up, hold up.
Because
hold up.
Okay. I'm holding up.
Our company supports you.
No, I'm not saying that they
I
didn't.
Know.
Yeah.
You're not good. Holding up. Our company supports you. Don't you feel like we could have done a little bit better research to know that we should afford your opponents some airtime? And my pitched solution was, all right, screw it. We haven't talked about that much. Why not have one of your opponents on to debate you at 5 a.m., which would have been scintillating radio for KDKA?
Yeah. No, I mean, I get it. But, like, the issue is I don't have an issue with the FCC regulation. I get it. There are elections where you don't want them to be swayed by, you know, politicians getting certain airtime when others don't. I get that. But whoever reported me waited till after the last day I could withdraw to report me. So that's just not fair to me. I mean, we didn't know, and you're right, there could have been better diligence researching, but like the day after I could have last withdrawn from the race and prioritized my career, which is probably what I would have done, whoever reported me forced me to not be able to have that decision. And I think that's not fair. That part was nonsense.
Well, it was our fault because we should have known. So there you go. People are calling it now the Green Tree screw job. People are ripping me for ripping you. I've been producerless for a month. So I've been a real victim here.
But theoretically, you're saying who would vote for me. Theoretically, I could still win this win this primary. I mean, it's not impossible.
And they're counting the votes this morning, are they not?
Yeah.
Okay. So there is a non-0% chance that we will have the election results before the end of the show. And here's what I want to do. If you win, we're taking a victory lap for the ages. If you lose, you're going to need to give a concession speech live on the air.
Why would I concede if the results are already in? Anyway, okay. Yeah, you're right. I'll give a concession speech.
Thank you.
There you go. Very good.
All right. Later on in the show, we are going to quiz Callis. It's one of our highest rated segments. We haven't been able to do it for a month. So we are going to do that coming up at 8:45. We got to get back to the serious stuff coming up next. More on a hypothetical Paul Skeens trade. Art Rooney II commenting yet again on Aaron Rodgers. A current member of the Pittsburgh Steelers speaks out publicly to talk about Aaron Rodgers. That's all on the way. Noah Hiles at the bottom of the hour. If you have questions, comments, or concerns, you can text them to us at 412-928-9370. And the text line's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Our YouTube stream has never been higher at this time of day. The people missed Harry Callis. Harry has spoken. He'll put the video out on social media at some point soon. You can also go back and listen on the Rewind feature on your Odyssey app, the chaptering feature, AUDACY, your Odyssey app.
Can I say one more thing, by the way?
I'm a little bit nervous, but go ahead.
Okay, while you're not dunking on me yet in this segment, I do want to thank my mom and my sister and my brother-in-law and Jada, my girlfriend, and everybody in my campaign for being very supportive, and everybody at Odyssey for being supportive. When you weren't super frustrated, Doran, you know, Craig, everybody was very supportive, and I'm humbled a bit now because not being able to talk was no good, and I'm happy to be back.
Listen, we make jokes, we mess around, we, you know, barb each other back and right. We fight like brothers do, but I'm proud of you. You're chasing your dream. You just want to see a better Green Tree. We don't have to get into the specifics of it. It still scares me. This whole thing scares me. I don't want to say something wrong, which is why I was trying to silence you in the last segment, even though you're not silenced anymore, is I'm scared that we're going to step in something. But you are passionate about your neighborhood. and you want to be a voice for change. And I think that people should be proud of that. Do you know if your family voted for you?
I'm pretty confident.
Okay, very good. They could have lost you the election. If your mom was like, I don't know if this is the best thing for Harry, I'm going to vote for his opponents. Texter, I apologize, Crowley. I thought you were a bleep head and got Harry in trouble, and that's why he was silenced. I'm dumb. See what happens when you retire after 49 years working and become a talk radio junkie? Yeah, a lot of people thought that I banned Callis. But we weren't allowed to say anything, so I couldn't defend myself. But you know what? I think that was a fair guess, because sometimes I do put Callis through the ringer.
You said Callis lost his voice.
That was day one. That was the solution day one. Harry's here. He can't talk. Why? Oh, he lost his voice. No. Harry's voice has never been stronger.
And I was supposed to be on yesterday. I do want to make that clear. We did have that plan, but then the race was too close to call.
I mean, it does just make me laugh the absurdity of the whole thing. Like, not only do we lose a producer his ability to talk for a month because he's running for Green Tree Council, but now we're waiting for provisional ballots to be counted. Like, it's the 2000 election and it's Florida and you got hanging chads and it's three votes.
Yeah, if I get those three votes, I win.
It's like Parks and Rec, dude. All right, you can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia at Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. A lot of people being supportive of Harry, and we are really proud of him, and I'll speak for myself and nobody else. I'm happy that this portion of our lives is over. Ken Rosenthal, national baseball writer, talked about the Pirates and whether or not they'd trade Paul Skeens. We'll let you hear that in a second. We've got Noah Hyles at the bottom of the hour to get into all of it. More Aaron Rodgers talk at the top of the 8 o'clock hour, because Art Rooney II commented again on the elderly quarterback. But right now, Ken Rosenthal on the optics if the Pirates were to trade Paul Skeens.
With Paul Skeens, what would the message look like if you're the Pittsburgh Pirates, you've had six straight losing seasons, you're working on your seventh, and then you trade the best thing about your team? Period. You've already had PR disasters this year with the taking down of the Roberto Clemente sign, the ceremonial bricks that you screwed up with as well. Obviously, those are off-field issues. This is an on-field question. And I guess if you could make a great trade for a team that can't hit, yes, they could use some offensive players. If you could do that, okay. Again, that goes back to the value question, and I just don't see it happening.
Believe me, I am not questioning the intelligence of Pirates fans. I think Pirates fans are some of the smartest in all of baseball, the most dedicated in all of baseball. If you are a true diehard Pittsburgh Pirates fan, pat yourselves on the back. So this is in no way me challenging your intelligence. But if the Pirates traded Paul Skeens at the deadline or in the offseason, it doesn't matter if you got the Red Sox top three prospects, top five prospects, top eight prospects. I think this town would revolt against the franchise. This season has been something of a PR disaster, and that's putting it mildly. Not just the on-the-field performance, which has been brutal, but the off-the-field stuff. If this organization were to trade Paul Skeens, you might actually have people picketing in the streets. You might actually have people march down to PNC Park with pitchforks and torches and signs. It would be a PR disaster that I don't think they'd ever recover from. Trading the best pitcher in baseball when you have 4+ years left of control, it doesn't matter what the Pirates would get in return. It doesn't matter if it were actually a good trade or not. That guy would be a Boston Red Sox or a Dodger or a Met or a Philly or a Cub or a Cardinal, whatever, and he wouldn't be a Pittsburgh Pirate. It wouldn't matter what you got back. So that's yet another reason why you don't move on from Skeens. But my primary reason is you don't need to part from him to become a contender again. Yeah, I know they're 17 games under 500 on May 23rd. This is a really bad baseball team. But the starting staff is actually outstanding. And you haven't even seen Bubba Chandler yet. Jared Jones, it sounds like, will actually be back to pitch next year. And if it's 10 months instead of 12, and that was the range they gave us, he could be up and ready to go by this time next year. So next year by the All-Star break, it could be Skeens and Jones and Keller and Chandler and Bailey Falter. That's a damn good starting rotation, folks. And it would still be a good rotation without Skeens. But let's say you traded Skeens for all these great prospects the Red Sox have to offer. How are you still supposed to beat the Dodgers if you should see them in a playoff series? Phillies in a playoff series? Yankees, my God, if you got to the World Series. Now I'm talking out of my ass. Like, you're not going to outscore those teams, even if all of these players you get back from the Red Sox wind up living up to their potential. The way you beat teams in the postseason is you outpitch them. And the way you outpitch those teams with great rotations is you throw Skeens out there a couple of times in a series. And you throw Chandler, if he lives up to his potential, as the number two prospect in all of baseball, the number one pitching prospect in all of baseball, you throw him out there a couple of times if he lives up to his potential. With the right GM, with this starting rotation, they're not as far away as you would think. And you know what, if I'm wrong? Eventually you will trade Paul Skeens and you'll get a King's ransom for him in return. Like, eventually you can get a massive haul for Skeens. You don't need to do it now. It'd be a PR disaster. It's not the only path forward. They shouldn't do it. We'll talk to Noah Hiles about this coming up next. Noah was the journalist who asked Ben Cherington about Paul Skeens. Has anybody talked to Skeens about this? We'll get to that when we come back with Noah Hiles. He'll be joining us on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years.
No, it's not. It's not at all part of the conversation.
Ben Cherington yesterday, Pirates general manager, saying, nah, not trading Paul Skeens. The man who asked the question, the brave young lad, joins us right now. He, of course, from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. That's Noah Hiles. Noah, good morning to you today. How you doing, buddy?
I'm well, Adam. How are you?
I appreciate a great bit. And last week, we crushed you for a story you told us about hats, and now you are wearing a 10-gallon cowboy hat, and I've never been happier to be trolled my entire life. That is just a brilliant move by you.
This is just what I wear around my house on Friday mornings. I don't know what you're talking about.
Do you have a dog?
I'm not allowed to talk about hats on this show. So, what do you have about baseball?
Well, no, I'm happy someone asked the damn question of Ben Cherington. And, okay, what did you think about his answer? I didn't know. Are you a Knicks fan, too? Now I'm going to ask you another question about your hat.
Yeah, huge Knicks fan.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Big game tonight.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that loss the other night. That was some fortunate choking and a really, it was some bad luck, too. Anyway, all right, so you asked the question. What'd you think about Ben Cherington's answer?
I wish there was video to accompany that answer, because the look that he gave when I was asking that question and when he delivered that one sentence response was kind of a look of thank God someone asked me this, because it seems like everyone has had an opinion on what they're going to do regarding this potential move, aside from the man who can actually make the move. So it seemed like he was relieved that when he sat down, he had an idea of what he was going to be asked about. And I think he was hoping someone please ask me if I'm going to trade Paul. And then I think that was like the second to last question asked. And when it finally arrived, he got this big smile and he was like, no, that's not part of our plans.
Do you think he understands? I agree with you that it shouldn't be part of their plans. And we'll get to that element of it in a second. Do you think he understands, though, why it's become national discourse? And the why is because he's done a terrible job as general manager of this baseball club. I mean, they're 17 games under 500. That's why the Paul Skeens stuff has come out nationally, because they are so bad. And from the 30,000 foot view, they don't look like they're anywhere close to competing. Like, It's all his fault.
I do think Ben's pretty self-aware. I think he is aware of his, surroundings or what's going on outside the organization. He's aware of the chatter and whatnot. So yeah, I think he gets it. I don't think he's obviously thrilled with it, and nor should he be. But yeah, I do think he's cognizant of why this dialogue surfaced and why it's gained steam. I found it ironic that my coworker Colin Beasley tweeted the quote during the press conference, and I have Twitter notifications on for him. And I went to look at my Twitter notifications, and right beneath Colin's tweet tweeting the quote was a story written by a national insider saying why the Pirates should consider trading Paul Skeens. And it was just incredibly ironic because it is a big conversation. It's probably the number one talking point right now connected to this organization. And as you said, Adam, that's just a direct product of the team's poor performance. When you play this poorly, extreme talking points like this surface.
Noah Hyles joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Noah, of course, from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, does a great job covering the team. What is Paul Skeens' perspective on all of this? What's his vibe like walking around the clubhouse? And correct me if I'm wrong, nobody has asked him yet about any trade speculation.
No one has asked him about that. Candidly, I hope no one does, just because it's just going to make him upset. And he can be tough to deal with during these times. And I don't say that as a slight to him or as his character or anything. It's just, this is a guy who is highly motivated to win. He's upheld his end of the bargain all season, and it still hasn't worked out. So he's going to be miserable in that clubhouse, and not miserable as in like trade me, but more miserable on the line of why the heck can't we win baseball games? And I said this to someone else recently this week. He would be feeling this way if he was losing on any team. If his little league team had this record, he would be this upset. If he was on the Dodgers, who had a $300 million payroll, and they were playing this poorly, he would feel the same way. I don't think it's, oh my God, I'm stuck in Pittsburgh with this owner and this situation and this and that. It's as simple as, are we winning or are we not with this guy? And right now they're just not winning. So he's pissed. He's not really a happy camper to be around, to talk to. And you kind of just got to understand that and accept it as someone who covers them. But that changes if they win. I think that if they start playing better baseball, we'll see him in a little bit better of a mood. And maybe we can talk about trade speculation for a trade that's never, ever going to happen.
So your best guess is that he is not going to get asked that question then after his start today.
I'm not asking it. I'll say that. And you know,
what if he wins, Noah, and he's in a great mood and what if he throws a no hitter? That might not be the right time to ask him.
No, I mean, again, someone else can, and someone else might. And you could say, oh, he's ducking the hard questions. I don't really view that as a hard question, because a hard question is something that actually pertains to reality.
Couldn't you? I'm not going to tell you how to do your job, because here's the dirty little secret. I have a credential. If I wanted to be a tough guy, I could come down and ask the question myself. So I'm not criticizing. But couldn't you ask, hey, Paul, there's all this weird national speculation that you want out of town. Like, how do you feel about that? You could ask it that. Make the national talking heads look like boobs.
I could.
But you're not going to.
I mean, or I could just ask him about, from my experience, the best way to get a good answer from Paul Skeens is by asking him questions about baseball. That's what he wants to talk about. And if you want to get a one-word answer and a mean look to follow, ask a question like what you just said.
You haven't heard, like, through the grapevine or, you know, just walking around the clubhouse that he, you know, would want to force his way out of here or anything like that, no?
No, I don't think that's his style. I mean, this is a guy who, like, look at his background. He respects authority. I think he really wants this team to be better. And I think that he hopes moving forward that now that this season looks to be lost, that a lot of growing and learning can come from that. And I think that he hopes that there's growth not just only in that clubhouse, but in the front office and in the owner's box, that everyone can see what unfolded here in 2025 and say, you know what? Maybe they should have done a little bit more this offseason. People in the clubhouse, front office, ownership, everyone. I think that's his hope, is that, yeah, I'm not going to force my way out, but I really hope this was a wake-up call to all parties involved.
I would not trade Paul Skeens, even if you consider what Mark Feinstein of MLB.com wrote the other day. He talked to an AL executive who said like a hypothetical trade with the Red Sox would yield their top three prospects, including the number one prospect in all of Major League Baseball and a couple of Major League players. I wouldn't do that because I think with the right GM at the helm, Noah, and people kill me for this, I don't think it would take all that long with this rotation to get them back into contention. And what I've said is, two off seasons ago, Noah, they spent $35 million, 10 of which was on a reliever in Aroldis Chapman. If they wanted, they could have had Rhys Hoskins as their first baseman. This offseason, they could have had Austin Hayes instead of Tommy Pham. They could have had Gavin Lux instead of Adam Frazier. So in two off seasons, you could have added three legit major leaguers to this lineup, and you'd have Joey Bart, you'd have Brian Reynolds, you'd have O'Neill Cruz. I think that lineup could at least be average. With that lineup in this rotation, I think you are competitive. Am I wrong in thinking that with the right leadership, they could be not that far away?
I think there's a chance that that could happen, yeah. I don't think it's as much of a given as some people, I'm not necessarily even saying you, view that to be. This year taught me a few things, and one of them is that it's more than just a spending on money, or it's more than just spending on players. It's a bigger problem than that. They need to invest in so many other areas. They're behind in technology. They're behind in analytics. They're behind in coaching. They're behind in development. All of these areas also need a lot more funding. Otherwise, you know, the players that the Pirates are going to sign, like you just said, I mean, Yankees fans are probably like, they would laugh hearing you say like, oh, this team's just an Austin Hayes and a Gavin Lux away from being a playoff team.
Well,
like,
and
that's a sad reality.
And Rhys Hoskins.
And Rhys Hoskins, right? Like that's, those aren't moves that like true World Series contenders are saying. But that's just the reality of what the Pirates are in. So when you're bringing in players of those caliber who have had good seasons, you need to surround them in ideal situations. And right now, that's not what this organization is doing for its incoming hitters. These are guys that every player that they're acquiring is probably someone who needs a little bit more of an edge on the data side of the game.
Sure.
They need a little bit more information rather than less information when it comes to day-to-day game planning. And it seems like the Pirates are really behind in that area as well. So you, sure, you need to invest more in player payroll, but you need to invest more in other areas that are, quite frankly, helping teams of this size of a market win games. Where players go there and they have some of the best years of their career, as opposed to here where seemingly everyone comes in and regresses. So I think it's going to take a little bit more than just signing guys who are a little bit more expensive than Tommy Pham and Adam Frazier. I think that's a big start, but they're going to have to up the investment in pretty much every area of this operation. It's not just player payroll.
We ask you this every time you're on, and we understand that information changes, and so too should reporting and opinion. Do you think Ben Cherington will be the GM next year?
I don't think so. I mean, I just... When I delivered those that original report, I delivered it the day he fired Derek Shelton.
Sure, yeah.
And and the original wording was, this is going to be connected to how well Don Kelly can manage this team, and Don Kelly could essentially save Ben Cherington's job. But I think the way this is trending now, this looks to be Ben's final year. But again, this isn't me reporting that. This is a very fluid situation. This is something that could change. I mean, if they win 10 games in a row, Ben's situation might be a little bit more comfortable. But from what I'm hearing now, yeah, it looks like his seat is very, very hot.
Noah, this was wonderful. One more piece of advice, though I'm not the best at giving advice, and I'm certainly not going to tell you how to do your job, but I think if you wear the 10-gallon hat, when you ask Paul Skeens about being traded, I think he's probably not going to F with you, man. You look pretty badass wearing that thing.
I reckon I'd be hitting the road now, partner.
See you, Noah.
Thanks for having me on, Adam.
You're the man. Noah's colleague from the Post-Gazette, Chris Carter, is going to be joining us at 8 o'clock as we shift the conversation to the Steelers. Art Rooney II commented at the owners' meetings yesterday about Aaron Rodgers. We'll hit on that. But coming up next, we'll react to Noah Hyles. Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette going to be joining us at 8 o'clock. Caleb Johnson, Steelers' third-round pick out of Iowa. He got a ton of confidence in himself. And I love that. Does he have too much confidence in himself? We'll get to that with Chris. What did he say about himself? Also, the latest on Art Rooney II's comments on Aaron Rodgers. That's all on the way in the 8 o'clock hour. I found a new and twisted way to fire Mike Tomlin. But we got to react to what Noah Hyles had to say in the last segment. Love Noah. Super cool dude. Does a great job covering the Pirates. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. He said Skeens is walking around all pissed off. He's not a pleasant guy to be around right now. Now, is that because he wants to win here in Pittsburgh or because he wants the hell out of town? Someone needs to ask him that question. They do. And I guess I could take it upon myself. I've got a credential. Harry, you've got a credential. We could go down to PNC Park and ask Paul, hey, man, obviously there's this trade speculation out there. What are your thoughts on that? He hasn't come out and said anything about it. Only Ben Cherington has. And that was because Noah asked him the question yesterday. Like, I know that there was the John Heyman report saying that the Pirates aren't going to trade Skeens. I know that Cherington said yesterday the Pirates aren't having that conversation. But no one's asked Skeens how he feels about this situation. Like, I listened to the post-game audio after his loss to the Phillies where he throws a complete game. It only gives up one run. And no one even asked him how frustrating it is to pitch that well and to lose that way. Now, Noah wasn't there, I don't believe. So I'm not throwing our guy under the bus. But he was not asked that question. Skeens could put an end to all of this if given the platform. He's not a social media guy. He's not Livy Dunn. But until Skeens comes out and says, no, I'm happy being a Pirate. I want to win here in Pittsburgh. This speculation nationally is going to continue. Because even though Cherington says they're not going to trade the guy, they would trade him, I think, if Skeens said, hey, I want out. If he pulled the Garrett Cole thing and was like, I don't want to be here anymore. You're left no choice. Like, we are in the player empowerment era, going back to when LeBron James took his talent to South Beach. Players have never had more power than they do right now. Whether it be professionally, collegiately, they've never had more power. If Skeens came out today and said, I don't want to be here anymore, he would force the Pirates' hand. And I'm not saying he would do that. But someone needs to give him the opportunity, or he should take it upon himself, to say, I want to be here. I want to win here. That's the only way an end gets put to all this speculation. He pitches tonight. We'll see if he has that chance to answer the question. We'll see if he takes it upon himself to make a statement on it. All right, coming up next, Chris Carter of the Post-Gazette. It's a Fan Morning Show. Oh, wait. I got to get back used to doing this. Fan Weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, high of 55. 55, my favorite penguin from the 09 team. Sergei Gonchar's number. How about that, Nicholas Harry Callis? Low of 47. Looks like they're going to have no problem getting that ball game in tonight.
Is the report on that paper the weather report?
Yeah, the weather report was here. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for that, Harry. You've done a great job today. You're talking. You're doing all your other producer duties. You're on the ball.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Jeff Hathorn joins us in studio, and he just told us, Bob, a very interesting little tidbit. Ben Cherington talking randomly at 4 o'clock, or what's happening here?
He was requested by a number of us just because of Jared Jones news and some of the other things that have happened. And I think you guys were talking about this last segment. How about Hank? Hank's starting to play. Still not the power.
Ride him.
I mean, you need power, but defensively, he's your best catcher.
He's really period. Come on big time. And now, if he can only do that offensively, but the only way is just keep playing him. But
they have been pounding that drum, Bob, and I admire you for that.
They have this weird thing, though, with DH, because they want to give Reynolds a day off his feet. They've got Canario, who's hitting well. You've got Joey Bart, who, and when he's not catching, you kind of want to have his bat in the lineup.
But yes. He needs more hitting power. He only, what does he have, one, two home runs?
One. He has one. Fewer home runs than Jared Triolo.
Yeah. See that? I mean, you need a little pop, whether it's him or Davis behind the plate. You got to have somebody who's going to hit some home runs.
Davis has to play. I agree with Bob. Do you agree with that, Jeff?
I agree.
I felt good for him yesterday, because the one thing I would never say about him is that he ain't trying. I mean, the guy puts
same with Bart.
A 1,000% effort into this.
Those two both are first there, last to leave.
Yeah.
And they work so hard. I'm actually a little encouraged by Horwitz. I like the swing.
Seems to give a professional at bat, yes.
His footwork at first base, it's so noticeable when you have someone that knows how to play first base as opposed to what we've seen for the most part except for Santana at first.
And then you add Gonzalez to the mix, and at least it gets a little more interesting, right? I mean, I think hopefully. You win with stars, so I want offensive stars, but
it's not to excuse what they didn't do in the offseason.
Oh, my God, no. And the season is essentially over, but it could get more interesting.
And you know what? I'm excited to see Burrows. I'm glad, let's stop. To an extent, let's stop this trial at the major league level. Send him down and let him work on being a starting pitcher.
Yeah.
Burrows has been better than Bubba this month.
Mm.
So give him a chance, see what he's got. And I think it would be a crime to lose a year of Bubba Chandler when you could have waited a week or two. Like, at this point, make sure that you save that year of control with Bubba Chandler, because what are you playing for? Like, you'd rather have that on the back end when hopefully your team is better.
Yeah, the only problem with that, as I see, is if you're Bubba Chandler, you're saying, okay, now they're playing games with my career. I get your point. I know. But you know what I would say? What do I have to do to get up here? And to me, I don't think that's a fair assessment of what he's been able to. He should be by rights.
Can you still bring him up in September, Jeff, and preserve that year?
I mean, you could probably bring him up by the middle of June and preserve that.
Well, then that's
whatever. Get all that,
but it's not a concrete date. Like, it slides, so it's hard for them.
Yeah, so make sure of it.
So
at
make
this point.
Sure.
I agree with you.
I think that would be a bigger crime than bringing them up right now.
Limits. Do you agree with Jeff there? You're never afraid to say when you don't.
No, I fully agree with Jeff. Like, I am somebody who was kind of discussing this a little bit last year with Jared Jones. Like, Jones deserved to be, and this is injury aside, Jones deserved to be up here at the start of last year. But you also do lose another full year of service. What you also lost with Skeens by not having him here day one, even though he won the Rookie of the Year. So, yeah, I would wait a little bit longer with Chandler, especially because they're out of it. Bring him up on June 12th or June 15th, right around that Super 2 deadline, and make sure you get that extra year of not arbitration, of club control. Talking what? $750,000 compared to a couple more million with him? I mean, I know might be pinching pennies, but
Jeff, I said this to Joe and Austin earlier. I went back last night and had some time. I was just going back over games I thought they could have won with the pitching they've received. And if you had, you know, they average, I think, 2.94 runs per game right now. That's just very low. It's one of the lowest in franchise. It may be the lowest. But there are games that even with a run or two more, they would have 12 more wins. I counted 12 legitimate games that they should have won, which would make them a 29-21 team, which is why I think a lot of us thought going into the season, you got the pitching, just get some hitting, and they got no hitting.
They got guys in Pham and Frazier that are end of the bench guys that can fill in here and there, that could be a good pinch hit option, that could be defensive substitutions, but not guys that you want to roll out there every day.
No, or any day in Pham's case.
And to Kelly's credit, Canario started over Pham most of the time since Kelly's been manager.
Yeah. And there may be something there, I don't know, with Canario. But it's time for the Pham experiment to end, I think.
I mean, to his credit, he had two hits and made a nice throw to the cutoff yesterday to get a runner at home.
Yeah.
So that's great. And if you see that once a week, like, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's
maybe somebody on a contending team could use him and Frazier. It's time for them to play young guys and experimental guys on this team.
Every good Heaney start, it's like, okay.
How about Falter, how good he's been in this month?
Wow. Has he
been
good? He's
been better than Skeens, and that's saying something.
And he's a guy, and maybe there's a lesson there too. He's a guy who throws 92.
But he knows how to hit. He knows how to pitch.
And he doesn't have to destroy his arm. He locates. And he has a delivery that is deceptive, which helps.
I know you were involved with what happened when they announced this Jared Jones thing, but they never did call it Tommy John, did they? I was looking for some clarification on that.
They're very clear about that.
It's not Tommy John?
That it's a little different, that it involves more the forearm than Tommy John. I don't know.
But he's still out for a year.
He's still out for a year.
At least, I would estimate.
And I think Todd Tomczyk, the director of sports medicine, was able to clear up. I think people's mentality is, why didn't the Pirates have surgery earlier?
What did
he
say?
It's his call.
Whose call?
It's Jared Jones's call.
Yeah, ultimately it is. You're right about that.
And he was saying, when we came to him, when this happened in March, we sat down and talked, and mentally, he didn't want to have surgery. He thought, he's different. He could be the guy that can work through rehab, and it's not.
But somebody had to have given him an option of rehab, too.
A surgery. You mean?
Well, no. Somebody had to have said to him, if you don't have surgery, then rehab might be it. Why would he do rehab then?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know. They went through the prod like, hey, maybe you're that one in a million, that it isn't what we all think it is.
Yeah.
And so they supported him. They worked out a plan. They went through rehab. And then finally, when he did that long toss last week, it was like he came to the realization. But the Pirates, you can't force a player to have surgery.
No.
But you
can give him all the options he needs and your recommendation.
Right. And they said there's a mental component. Like, he's got to get to the point where it's like, all right, I'm on board with this, and then I'm going to attack, you know, after this surgery.
So did he have some subsequent problems on his rehab journey?
A few days ago.
Yeah.
He felt that pain, and I'm putting words in his mouth, but he kind of threw his hands up and went, all right, we got to do it.
That's a shame, because I was really – just imagine him and Chandler, and you still could have that – down the road with these guys. There is no excuse for now not going out and doing whatever you can to bring the hitting aspect up. Spend as whatever you got to spend. Because are there answers in their organization? I don't know.
There's one that I would love to see fast-tracked.
Termar.
Connor Griffin. Griffin.
Connor Griffin at 19.
He's starting to hit at Altoona, you know.
He's hitting
his
better.
OPS is over 800.
But Griffin is better. A unique person, it looks like to me.
Griffin looks
like
he's 25 physically.
Mm.
Like he's just.
It would be nice just to have one guy, finally, an offensive guy, who just skyrockets through the organization.
I'd love to see him skip High A and go right to Altoona and see what he could do there.
What do you want to ask Charrington today, Jeff? Most of all, what's on the top of your mind?
I think there's – well, I mean, one of them is, you know, why Burrow's over Bubba? Because I think a lot of people have that in their mind. What's – you know, how are you handling trade deadline? When could moves be made? Think of that way to ask, how do you feel about the security of your own job to be able to – you know what I mean? It's a weird situation. I mean – what's his – he's going to be making potentially moves that impact the future for years to come. So there's some trust there, but if you know you're not going to be the guy, like that's an – I have to figure out – you guys know what I'm saying, like how to word that to ask him because this is a weird situation they're in.
Very. Limits, I wouldn't think of leaving you out of this conversation.
What would you ask him, Austin?
What would I ask Ben Charrington right now? I would ask him,
what's taking so long with Tommy Pham? Why is he still on the team? Honestly, I would ask him that question. Like, what is the purpose of that? Can you admit that you failed, even if he gets hot
Would you like to see the young catcher get a run?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, another thing I would ask him is, in regards to Nutting's comments to Mackey on, I didn't feel after 38 games that this was the right time to blow it up. How does he take that? And I'm curious Charrington's thoughts on what has happened since then and just overall if that's a statement from Nutting towards him, if he views it that way. I don't know the best way to phrase that.
No, I get what you're saying.
But
I don't.
I think it's a fair question. You don't understand what I'm saying, Joe?
I do. Jeff, how would you answer that?
No, I think I think that's a legit question.
Do you have to go, Jeff?
In about 2 minutes.
Okay. Bob, final question
we've
for
got
Jeff.
We've got a Zoom with one of the new Pitt basketball players.
Oh. Interesting.
There you go. Yeah. No, my thing is just Henry Davis. I just think he needs to play. He's shown so much growth defensively. I mean, you'll watch him and see the difference that he was when he first came here. And I understand that Bart is still a good player for them. But I would ask Ben, how do you treat the rest of this year? You are legitimately not going to be in contention for anything. You would have been had you got some hitting in the offseason. I throw that in as a little caveat. But I'd say, how do you treat this? Is it more developing a core that you need to see offensively specifically? And if so, does that mean sitting guys like Andrew McCutchen more?
I think we're seeing the answer to that by Canario and some of these other young guys playing. But he's not going to get out and say that because that room's going to – even though there's a reality there, they're going to be like, what?
Well, I understand that, but I think how he answers it is important for people who follow this team to hear. I mean, are you just going to continue to play veteran guys who, because they're veterans and because they signed for $4 million, you're going to just defer to them?
Yeah. I would think, assuming Gonzalez's hand is going to be okay, because you guys heard his first rehab game back, he got hit on the hand.
I did not hear that.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I heard that, and I was like, of all things.
Oh, my God.
So he didn't play yesterday, and they were going to reassess how his grip was today.
But
you would think that he's going to be the second baseman and Frazier will sit the bench.
I am taking note of Termar. I think he's going to get a call soon, and then you're one call away. I'm not thinking it's going to happen like, you know,
they have so many
in
those
a couple
guys.
Months.
I mean, like,
but he's a guy that you drafted.
York, Cook, all these guys.
Termar is a guy you drafted to be a middle of the order hitter. And on this team, if you hit 210, you're a middle-of-the-order hitter. He could be up next week,
and
Jeff.
Then let's be real. If you're a first-round pick, you get different treatment.
Sure, and he's
others.
Starting to hit. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, boys.
All right, Jeff, have a good Zoom.
Bob, he gets nicer every week, doesn't he?
He's the best. He goes everywhere. He's got an engine that does not shut off. I'm serious.
Is he nicer than Jerry DePaula or no?
No.
No, he said no.
Equally as nice.
Yeah.
I like nice people.
So do I. I don't think I am one, Limits, especially you'll agree with that today, but...
you are.
No, I think you are for the most part, yeah.
Yeah. Pretty nice. Bob, What did you think of Henry Davis yesterday? My emotion was, man, I feel good for this kid to have a good day, you know?
Yes. I mean, I'm rooting for him only because he's a 1-1 pick. If the Pirates are to have any, you know, success moving forward, it's the offense that has to kick it into high gear, and it's not shown that. So he would be the number one reason that I would play him a lot here. If it's not everyday catching, it's going to be DH once in a while, move on. I just got to get his bat to go, and I want to see what it can be. Maybe it's just a matter of more and more repetition up here. So, and that's taking nothing away from Joey Bart, who's been good too. Need more power from all those guys. But you got to figure out ways to springboard some of these guys.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you've been right. I think you've been right about him all along.
I don't know if I'm right about him, but I'm right. I think,
I know, right about you have to play him every day to find out
right.
about him.
You can't do him once every 4 days and try to come up with a conclusion.
News out of Detroit today, Aiden Hutchinson is officially and fully cleared. And, Bob, I mean, that's their Miles Garrett, T.J. Watt, Bruce Smith guy. I mean, I think he makes a difference.
He made a big difference last year when he wasn't around for all those games, especially in the postseason. So
for sure. All right, we'll wrap it up next, Bob. It's been a very enjoyable day, hasn't it, Ben?
It really has. A lot of different things, and we didn't spend a whole bunch of time talking about too much of the Pirate issues up until now, but I think there's other stuff out there. I still think, so I ask you, do you think the Knicks can rebound from this crushing loss last
Man,
night?
Man,
you watched it.
Honestly, no, in the long run.
It's the only game. You had a stat, but did you throw it out before about how many teams have had a lead of 14 points or more with 2 minutes left in a game?
Yeah,
no one's ever won that. No one's ever come back. They were the first to do it.
Teams were 970-0. And then we have hockey happening right now. And I don't know if Connor McDavid is ever going to win a Stanley Cup.
I wouldn't rule him out after last night. Last night was kind of a weird third period. They got three power plays and they scored on all of them, Dallas. They're good for them. But
McDavid is no Mikael Granlund, I'll tell you that.
How about him? You're seeing the kind of Mikael Granlund who was a former first-round pick, not the one the Penguins acquired here, and he really didn't have, you know, a role. People wanted him out of town. Okay, fine, but the guy can shoot. He's had some laser beam shots.
He's been better than Erik Karlsson since they were in the same trade together.
By far.
All right, so, yeah, who's the guy that won the British Open back in the day? Old Tom?
It was Old Tom Morris, and then there was Young Tom Morris.
The guy's name was Old Tom Morris, Don.
That was back when the clubs were called like a Mashie, a Niblick, a Spoon, things of that nature.
Well,
the Gutta Percha.
There's a lot of different ways to go with George Pickens' first press conference in Dallas today. I think it's hilarious that he says he brings hard work to the team and that he's known as a guy that never gets too high or too low.
That's like I'm saying I'm known as a guy who has a very small head.
Or Chris saying, you know, I'm never self-loathing and self-hating. I actually am always very cocksure and I'm always very kind to myself and I always say very flattering things about myself. Yeah, sure. I never get too high or too low, buddy.
My teammates have literally never had to spend enormous amounts of time on the sideline of an actual NFL game keeping my mood in check.
I
show up on time all the time.
And then he takes a shot at Tomlin and said it's super refreshing with a different culture here.
Well, I felt like you might have liked that part.
Yeah, but it's the wrong messenger. You know, I didn't even really like Najee saying those things when he left. You know, I have Pickens and Najee in the pile of guys who I was sick of watching play for the Steelers. And so when they try to slam the team out the door, I don't like trying to talk out of both sides of my mouths and saying, well, I killed these guys when they're here. Now I'm going to give oxygen or life to the way they scalded the team when they waved goodbye. No, like, if somebody who I actually respected said that, it would be different. But I don't have a ton of respect
George
for either one of those guys.
George saying it is patently absurd.
Yeah,
George saying what he said is an absurdity. The culture he likes down there is probably that it is glitzy. I think guys, maybe not CeeDee Lamb specifically, but other players have like talked about how Jerry will just walk fans through practices. Like there's tours that go on while the team is practicing in season. And I think a lot of guys have quietly groused about what a like a laughable joke that is, that it's more of a reality show.
Oh, Patrick Peterson talked about that on the podcast with me.
Than it is like an actual NFL team trying to
win. They'd bring fans into the meetings when they were happening to say, like, look, see, they're at work right now. They're discussing what they're going to do against the Eagles on Sunday.
Like, Jerry treats it almost like a zoo a little bit.
You're right.
And you know what, though? It is, I think it's still a franchise that is all about the individual because it's the ultimate individual who owns it. And I think George will actually like that if he's getting the ball enough.
Well, one thing that I discovered on the FanDuel Sportsbook app today, how about this? Pickens and Metcalf have the same exact receiving prop number for 2025. It's 950 and a half for both guys. I don't like either.
So I think that it's that low or that number for Pickens because he's the clear second dude behind CeeDee.
But they're going to throw it a lot because they don't run the ball. Who's the number one running back in Dallas right now, Donnie?
I want you to say somebody from like 12 years ago, like Felix Jones.
Oh, Felix Jones, the ex-Steeler, too.
Run DMC.
Well, let's see. It's no longer Rico Dowdle. Who the heck is it? Oh, wait.
It's not Pollard.
No.
Deuce Vaughn.
Wasn't he the guy whose dad was the scout?
Yeah. They had to have signed somebody.
Who is it, Donnie? I'm asking you. You're the resident football guy.
I can't think of who it is. It's not going to be Zeke. Elliott.
Nope.
Who the heck is it?
They didn't draft anybody early, so it's not anybody new. Mulsey's now
I'm checking it.
Trying to tacitly look up their depth chart.
Tacitly? I'm clicking away.
We had to have
here.
Missed something here.
They should make Hunter Luepke the feature back.
Who is it? Do we know?
If the Our Lads up there. They're the best in the business.
They really are.
I'm going to go with Our Lads and see what it pops up. Well, they didn't make the acquisition in the offseason that I thought was meant for them and built for them, which was Najee coming there. Maybe he'll end up there because I feel like the Chargers are not in exactly like love with him.
Are you on AOL 1995 right now, or did you actually find it?
Relax, Chalooch. I'm getting it right here. Dallas Cowboys depth chart. Starting at running back, Javonte Williams.
Okay, so they brought him in from Denver, the guy that never had a 1,000-yard season there. I actually did not. I had spaced on what they did at running back.
Their depth chart actually says Jadon Blue, Miles Sanders. Do you remember that acquisition?
Booby Sanders, as he's affectionately called.
Yeah, Deuce Vaughn, by the way, fifth string on the running back depth chart.
Well, the question I had written down here with Pickens is, and I know what our answers are going to be, but I did write down any regrets over this trade. Because they still don't have a number two wide receiver. I shouldn't say that because Donnie was not as high on the Pickens trade as you and I were. And it happened now, more than a week ago, 2 weeks ago? And they didn't fill that gap yet. They didn't go out and sign Keenan Allen or Amari Cooper. The Chris Olave thing, everyone now, Albert Breer is the latest to say, Crowley's right. The Steelers did reach out to the Saints. But the Saints are this weird team that even though Derek Carr retired and Tyler Shuck is going to be their starter, they don't want to like tear it all down. They don't want to admit that they're almost like the Steelers, I guess, in that respect. They don't want to admit that they're having a rebuilding season.
There's two things.
We know what's going on
There's Spencer Rattler erasure going on too there in that comment, but my man Canario just continues to be a 5-run
warning
tease.
Track power
warning. Exactly. This is just brutal for me, but yeah, it's weird that the Saints, although that Olave thing I thought would have been very ill-advised. That guy's got,
that's exactly what I said when you were winning that golf tournament.
Man.
Not just that. It's just, I just don't agree with giving up a lot of draft picks for a receiver and you still don't have a quarterback who can get him the ball.
I mean, I like the player if he's not concussed and if he has a quarterback. I think he's a very good receiver.
Yeah, they don't have a quarterback here.
Those are two massive ifs. Like, Derek Carr was throwing him hospital balls all his entire time in
I mean,
in
Donnie, do you think that we're going to be sitting down in September watching the Steelers and the Cowboys from afar and you're going to be tempted to tweet out things like the Steelers made the mistake here and they should have kept Pickens?
The only way I'd really feel that way is if they do zero the rest of the way out, because I don't rule out a chance of Pickens actually having a pretty good season. He is getting by far the best quarterback play he's ever gotten.
Who would you bet to have more yards, Pickens or Metcalf this year?
I'd still go Metcalf because there is one of the best receivers in the game also on Pickens' team, so he's clearly the number two guy.
Yeah, but we've seen Chase Higgins.
To Pony's point, that can cut both ways, where if one of the best receivers in the league is on the other side and you're getting singled up, George might eat. I mean, for all his
flaws. Look at Juju with AB.
He can go up and get it. That would be my tons of plays. He's more talented than Juju by far.
They're both at 950.
I think Pickens could have 1,000 yards there.
And Metcalf didn't have 1,000 last year, in part because
he might just be their only
Smith
option.
And Jigba caught the ball a ton.
So Dak only started 8 games for them last year. Cooper Rush started 8, and then Trey Lance memorably started 1 game.
Yep.
Lamb had 1,194 yards. Their number 2 pass catcher had 610.
I heard Mason on the podcast with Kabali and Mac, and you know, he's so guarded on things because he's scarred and wounded from when he played here and guys like me that called him mediocre Mason, so I have to own that. But you know, he sounded like a guy that, even without truth serum, you ask him, he's the only quarterback that's weighed in so far on the Pickens thing. Howard just got here, and Aaron Rodgers is off playing with Super Soakers. And it sounded like Mason Rudolph was not a fan of that trade at all. You know, that makes sense. I mean, part of what made Mason Rudolph's, I can't even say resurgence, I would just say surgence, because it was the first time we saw it, was the fact that he got the ball to Pickens and
they made plays
together.
Yeah, George clearly preferred him to the other two because he was getting him the ball a lot and on time.
But, I mean, am I inferring from your comments, Donnie, that you're confident they are going to fill that number two wide receiver position appropriately and get the right guy in there?
Oh, no. I am not confident in that whatsoever. We watched them get embarrassed a year ago for the entire summer by a man in San Francisco. They got left at the altar, and then they did nothing. They said, don't worry, we have Van Jefferson. And that man this year could be Mr. Robert Woods.
Oh, Jesus.
Come on.
I do think, to go back to the culture comment for a second, I do think if Pickens had gone to a team that also fans here had a little bit of respect for and he said that, it would be different. If the Chiefs had rolled the dice on Pickens and he said that, then I might be inclined to say, okay, maybe Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes could actually get this guy like Bill Belichick did with Randy Moss.
The Ravens would have been, I think, a damning one, even though we saw Deontay Johnson go there.
I wouldn't say that about them. They don't get that benefit of the doubt with me.
Well, then it's really just, did he go to a team with a really, really, really good quarterback and an offensive head coach?
Yeah, pretty much.
So that's the Chiefs, because McDermott's
Yeah, but if he went to the Bills, I would say that. I mean, they haven't won big yet.
The receivers haven't exactly had a happy time there all the time.
Yeah, but Diggs was super productive. But they wouldn't make that move. The Bills would not trade for George Pickens. It would be a total affront to everything they stood for with the Diggs decision. Their whole thing was, we don't want the wide receiver who's a diva
here.
We don't need that guy.
What if he had gone to the
Rams in a trade? Yeah, I'd be, and he said different culture here. I'd probably say, you're right.
They made no effort to get him, and they instead got Devontae Adams.
Yep. Yeah, I think Pickens and the Cowboys are made for each other. Like, he could say different culture. My guess is by Columbus Day, they're going to be talking down there, and it'll be on all the ESPN shows how he's unfollowed Dallas on social media outlets and channels and is already like trying to get himself traded out of there to find greener pastures again.
It's sort of funny to watch Marcus Mosher, my guy who's based, I think, in Erie, but writes about the Cowboys.
Well, he's a Cowboys lover, right?
Well, he covers them. He's like he's just a guy, right? I would say better than a blog.
He's an Alex Cazora.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And he's doing a lot of hopeful posts about George Pickens. Some of the Dallas radio hosts that I follow down there.
Follow Dallas radio hosts. Congratulations on all your success.
They're within the Odyssey family. They're under the it's even bigger than the Saunders umbrella, the Odyssey umbrella down there. They're all hopeful about Pickens. Hey, they finally went and got a real number two. And it's just funny to watch it from a distance, knowing that all they acquired was one of those Looney Tunes style boxes of TNT, and they're going to hold a match next to the fuse.
Should the Pirates trade Paul Skeens? Ben Charrington came out yesterday and said they're not going to do that. It's not even part of the conversation. I'm happy to hear that. I don't want Ben Charrington to be the GM next year, though. I don't think you need to trade Skeens to get competitive. I brought up Rhys Hoskins. We saw him last night. Pirates could have had him 2 off seasons ago for $12 million. $12 million. He hit 26 homers, drove in 82. He was coming off of an injury. He missed an entire season. But a first baseman that hits 26 bombs, drives in 82, well, looks like Willie Stargell on this team. First base fixed for a two-year total of $34 million when they spent $35 million two off-seasons ago, could have been done. Gavin Lux, Austin Hayes, just this offseason, combined to make $8 million. Pirates could have afforded that instead of getting Adam Frazier, instead of getting Tommy Pham. It's not hard to identify players with track records or reclamation projects. Injury could be a reason. Down year could be a reason. It's not hard to identify guys who are legitimate bounce back candidates. Neither one of the guys the Pirates brought in this offseason were. Now, I know Spencer Horowitz hit a homer last night. He seems like he's got the good hit tool. We talked to John Wehner about that the other day. I don't dislike that acquisition. It's early times yet. We'll see. And I think the power profile is better at PNC Park. He's not a guy with prodigious power, but you got the short porch over there on the Clemente wall. But you could have added three professional hitters to this lineup the last two off seasons for the cost in total of $25 million. Ben Cherington had the budget to do that. And I'm not dismissing any criticism of the owner, nothing like that. But I don't think with this starting rotation, if you get the right GM in the decision-making chair, that they're that far away from contending. You have to have a perfect offseason. But making a deal where you ship Paul Skenes to the Red Sox guarantees nothing. You would get the number one prospect in all of baseball. Doesn't mean the guy's going to be a superstar. And if he came here, he probably wouldn't be. So hold on to Paul Skenes, get Cherington out of town, get a guy in here who knows what he's doing, and with this rotation, I don't think you're that far away. And if it turns out that I'm wrong, okay, you're eventually going to trade Paul Skenes, and whenever you do trade him, if you got the right general manager in the seat, you're still going to get a King's ransom for him. Like, that's the other thing. Not trading Skenes now, not trading Skenes next year at the deadline, not trading Skenes at next year's offseason, that should be the move. Try to build around him because eventually, yeah, you are going to trade him and you're going to get a huge return.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
but not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.